Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Small Business Health Benefits Conference Call. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions and comments following the presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Vanessa Cardenas. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Great. Thank you, James. Good morning, everybody. My name is Vanessa Cardenas, and I am director of Progress 2050, a project at the Center for American Progress that seeks to promote new ideas for an increasingly diverse nation. I'm excited to be here today to talk to you guys about the Affordable Care Act and how it benefits small businesses, including those owned by racial and ethnic communities. I am joined here today by a great panel, and I hope that you, like me, are looking forward to their remarks. I'm joined here with Javier Palomares, who's president and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Amy Griffin, board member of the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce, Isabel Pereira, who's a special assistant for health policy at the Center for American Progress. We have also been joined by Ron Busby, who's the president of the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce. In addition, I would like to let you know that CAP today has released a report on Better Health Means Better Businesses, and this report includes five new fact sheets focused on how the ACA will help small businesses owned by Hispanics, African Americans, American Indian, Alaska Natives, Pacific Islanders, and Asian Americans. So we have a lot of great information for you today. In terms of the format for the call, each speaker is going to give brief remarks, and then we'll open it up for your questions. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Isabel.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. The Center for American Progress is very excited to share data that looks at the positive impact of healthcare reform on minority-owned small businesses, both employers and employees. Five fact sheets quantify the predicted benefits of the law for Hispanic employers, African American employers, Asian American employers, American Indian and Alaska Native employers, and Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander employees. Together, these businesses have built their presence across local communities, but they also reach over 40 countries worldwide. And despite their growing relevance to both local and international markets, minority-owned businesses face significant challenges with regard to being able to purchase affordable health coverage. The healthcare reform law seeks to alleviate these challenges by facilitating access to insurance and closing the healthcare disparities gap. This strengthens businesses because it helps attract and retain skilled employees, and it keeps everyone healthy and productive. Racial and ethnic minorities face substantial health disparities, many of which could be prevented by comprehensive healthcare coverage and consistent care. Their health needs are diverse and often left unattended. Comprehensive coverage and consistent care, along with cultural competency, all of which the law facilitates, are the first steps towards eliminating these disparities. For racial and ethnic minorities in the small business community, obtaining coverage is notoriously difficult. Small businesses are often considered high-risk groups and have limited bargaining capacity compared to larger businesses, so insurers charge them high costs. And so these high costs keep many small employers from offering health benefits. And when small business employees do obtain health coverage through their employers, they tend to have less generous plans than employees at large businesses. Currently, almost one-third of the uninsured, 13 million people, are employees of small businesses. This trend has a serious impact on racial and ethnic minorities. For example, two out of every three Korean Americans work in small businesses, but less than half have employer-sponsored insurance. To assist with these costs, the health reform law provides tax credits for small businesses which offer health care coverage. Also, state-based high-risk insurance pools finally make health care coverage available to self-employed individuals with pre-existing conditions. The tax credits and high-risk insurance pools are up and running right now. In 2014, racial and ethnic minority employers can also enroll in the state-based health insurance exchanges. Providing affordable coverage options is a key goal, so these new marketplaces will lower overhead costs and expand the risk pool, which in turn will lower the overall cost of insurance. Exchanges will be a critical resource for minority employers, as 1 in 4 enrollees will speak a language other than English at home. In recognition of this, the exchanges are required to provide outreach and assistance to those whose first language is not English. Minority-owned businesses contribute more than $1 trillion to the economy each year. By closing the disparities gap and increasing access to insurance, the health reform law lowers health care costs, improves health and wellness. This makes businesses stronger and boosts minority entrepreneurship. We anticipate that businesses will increase profits, increase wages, and be better to attract and retain skilled employees. Our fact sheets and the accompanying memo outline how these and other healthcare reforms will benefit minority-owned small businesses. So now we're looking forward to working with our partners to help get the good news and information out to minority communities. National interests can't really afford to disadvantage minority-owned small businesses. Ultimately, closing the gap is a business issue, and the healthcare reform law seeks to do exactly that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Isabel. And now I would like to turn it over to Javier Palomares, President and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Javier?
Thank you so much. We here at the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce believe very strongly that a healthy workforce is a more competitive workforce, and that America needs help as it relates to insurance reform. The USHCC strongly advocated on behalf of health care and insurance reform legislation and the Affordable Care Act of 2010, which we believe addressed the challenges that small businesses face in maintaining a healthy workforce. By way of example, prior to this reform, small businesses, those that were even able to provide health care insurance for their employees, were paying on average 18% to 20% more for insurance coverage than their huge corporate and conglomerate counterparts. This type of disparity was due to really a number of factors, including higher sales and administrative costs for the insurance companies in the small group segment, and the lack of purchasing power by small businesses when individually they have to tackle this disparity. And also, of course, the lack of consumer choice to drive price competition amongst carriers in the first place. The United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce represents some 200 local chambers throughout this country, in every state, in every conceivable major metropolitan area. These chambers across the nation in turn represent some 3 million Hispanic-owned businesses of all sizes, all geographies, and every conceivable business model, from insurance coverages, by the way, insurance carriers, to health services, to legal services, to construction, to agriculture, and every conceivable business model. The small businesses owned by Hispanics produce nearly $3 billion in total, $300 billion in top line revenues. Our businesses, we believe, are at the forefront of stimulating our economy. And if we are to make it out of this economic downturn, it will be on the backs of American small businesses. However, with that said, these same small businesses face many operating challenges and expenses that really stunt our ability to grow. We're very happy to support a reform to the healthcare system that will, we believe, alleviate some of the very burdens that our businesses face. Today, the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is very pleased to join the Center for American Progress in the rollout of data that we believe is critical to our community in terms of the savings that we anticipate in this new law. We believe it's important to continue to communicate the benefits of the law to our business owners and the Hispanic community in general. During my year and a half tenure as President and CEO of the United States Hispanic Chamber, I have visited chambers, local chambers throughout this country, from San Diego to Seattle to San Antonio to Miami to New York, and every point in between. The chambers all over this country have told us in no uncertain terms that they need help, and they continue to struggle. Just recently, I came back this weekend from visiting our San Antonio chamber, a very strong and vibrant chamber that represents nearly 2,000 Hispanic-owned businesses in that metropolitan area. And I met with Deborah Trevino, the CEO of Traco Services, a wonderful company a company that's continued to grow despite the economic downturn, led by a wonderful business leader. Founder and CEO Deborah Trevino shared with me the challenges that she has in just providing the basic coverages that she needs for her growing employee base. This is why it is important to share the data that we are talking about today with our businesses. It's imperative, we believe, that our businesses be aware that in 2014, just a few years from now, they will be able to purchase packages that offer the essential benefits that are necessary for employees. The plans offered inside the state-based exchanges will also cover preventative services that are critical and limit, ultimately, the out-of-pocket costs for those that are covered. The law also has provisions that we believe will benefit self-employed workers. Many of our organizations in the wide spectrum of businesses and the sizes of businesses that we represent are oftentimes entrepreneurial startups, and the individual is self-employed and he is the owner-operator. And so these people need coverage as well, and it's critically important for them. We believe the law protects such individuals by requiring insurers to provide quality, affordable coverage, and by implementing high-risk insurance pools for those very individuals with pre-existing conditions. In 2014, self-employed workers will also be eligible to join the exchanges, and so these are critical to the growth and the continued competitiveness of American small businesses. These changes are particularly relevant to our community, where some 2.3 million Hispanics are self-employed or small employers. These businesses were unable to struggle to insure workers before now will be able to participate in these exchanges. And so for us, this is the proverbial just what the doctor ordered, if you'll pardon the pun, and we are very glad to join our friends at the Center for American Progress to get the word out. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much, Javier. And now I'll turn it over to Amy Griffin. Amy?
So, yes, I am with the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Black Chamber. And what our intent was when we created the U.S. Black Chamber a few years ago was to create an organization that represented black businesses and those black businesses throughout the country. We were established on five pillars, and the first one is advocacy. As we know, as we were in concert with Javier and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber to discuss how do we support to get the words out that is necessary and the issues that need to be promoted for small businesses that are potentially overlooked, often overlooked, with the unique needs that, irrespective of the fact that we have a lot that we want to happen, we make a lot happen, however, we're overlooked and we bear the brunt of higher expenses because we don't have the opportunity to have the great volume. We join with Center for American Progress happily because we are very aware of the great health disparities that are experienced by African-American businesses and small business, African-American communities. We know that 40% of Americans and African-Americans who work for small businesses do not have health insurance whatsoever. Subsequently, preventative health care does not happen. And we know that without preventative health care, we know that experiences such as cancers and without early detection, not just the employee potentially could be impacted, but families and the whole family unit and then subsequently the community. In order to have a successful business, we know that the first responsibility is to just to show up and to show up healthy, able to engage, ready to do all that is required. An unhealthy workforce does not make that possible. We're very conscious of the fact that it is not, healthcare is not an optional experience. It's a requirement. We need to support the Center for American Progress and the White House in promoting the reality that we need to make a healthier workforce. We need to do all of those preventable options, such as fighting obesity. All of those things that we learn about through our preventative health care, we need to take advantage of. So we joined with the Center for American Progress as we engage our six regional offices to spread the word about how the businesses are greatly impacted by being a part of the Affordable Care Act.
Great. Thank you, Amy. And with that, I will ask James, our operator, to please see if we have some questions from those on the line.
And thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they're received. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or a comment, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. And our first question comes from Charlie Erickson from the Hispanic Link News. Charlie, you can state your question.
Yeah, thanks very much. What's the breakdown male-female on Hispanic small businesses? I don't think I heard that mentioned. Yeah, just how does that affect women, and how important is that particular reality deal with the passage of the act?
I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but directionally, this is where we play out. About two-thirds of the owners of Hispanic businesses continue to be males.
How about employees? Any clue?
Well, let me just go through ownership first, Charlie. So that's the case as it stands today. However, when you look at the number of startups, so the number of new businesses being created by Hispanics, that number is where Latinas come in. Hispanic women are starting businesses at a rate of 4-1 when compared to their Caucasian male counterparts. So the growth on a going forward in terms of Hispanic business ownership will come from Hispanic women. So that's the ownership scenario. The impact on women is self-evident. If you are the owner of the business, you are the woman who, if there are children in the home, it's the mom that's going to take care of the bills, the mom that's going to take the child to the doctor, the mom that's going to shop around for the best dental coverage, the mom who's going to make the decisions, the mom who's going to go to the pharmacy, the mom who's going to sign them up for an HMO if there is such a thing. And so all of those issues generally, whether the business is owned by a man or a woman, are generally made or heavily influenced, and certainly the execution of those decisions is left to the women nine times out of ten. And so the impact not only to the woman herself and her own health as the business owner, but the individual within the household who takes care of the children, who takes care, frankly, of the husband, in terms of the decisions made around health care and insurance coverage, et cetera, all the way down to who makes the appointment with the dentist, who makes the appointment with the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So the impact is really there's a number of points where the woman feels the brunt of those decisions much more than the males in the household. By the way, that is not unique to the Hispanic household. That is pretty much universal around households in America, period. It's usually the women that are either making the decision, and certainly even after the decision's made, it's the woman who deals with the consequences of those decisions. I don't know if that answers the two questions, Charlie.
You did a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a couple. Do either of you have any questions? I have a couple of our female reporters that are listening in, and I don't know whether either of them had any questions at this time.
And actually, I do have a question following up this, Vanessa. I have a question, and I know Isabel wants to also weigh in. But Javier, you mentioned about employees. Do you have any data in terms of how many small business employees are women?
We do not. Okay. We have anecdotal data.
Okay.
What we do find is that more, when you look at the percentages of women that work in small businesses, in Hispanic-owned small businesses, the percentages continue to increase, where more and more women are joining the workforce, and that is the same. The same could be said for small businesses. So, small businesses are employing more and more Latinas or women. I shouldn't say Latinas, just women in general. As we continue to move down the continuum here, and you're finding more and more Latinas coming out of the household and going into the workforce.
Yes. Great. Thank you. And I know Isabel wants to weigh in before we take the next question.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick note. I think Javier did a great job of bringing this up, but it's really significant that Latina entrepreneurs are driving the growth of the Hispanic small business sector, especially because we know that the growth of businesses owned by minorities has actually outpaced the growth of non-minority-owned businesses. And of the 5.8 million minority-owned businesses, 2 million of them are owned by women. And yeah, absolutely. Women are women entrepreneurs are especially busy people, and so it's really important to get the word out to them as to what the law has in store for them, how they can increase their offer rates, what the exchanges can do, and how the high-risk insurance pools can help them gain insurance coverage for both themselves and their valuable employees.
Great, thank you. James, do we have another question?
So far, there are no questions, but again, if anyone does have a question, they can press star and the number one on their telephone keypad.
Okay, and while we wait, I'll take a question. What are some of the biggest challenges Javier and Amy are facing, both the African-American and the Latino community, in terms of getting information about the Affordable Care Act from, obviously, the small business perspective?
Amy, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. That's fine. I think a part of it is the basic overall communication and information systems. There's so much information available, and sometimes drilling down to how do we get it? I mean, what are the basic facts of how do we get it? When there's the businesses that we work with, typically are very, very, very small businesses, mom and pops, and with maybe, you know, 2 to 5 employees. Subsequently, they're the chef, the CFO, the CEO, the COO, as well as the janitor, the receptionist. So a lot of times it's sort of how do we get to the basic information, allowing people to look up to see what's responsible, what's available when they're looking down at what they're responsible for.
That's great.
And also, again, irrespective of the fact that we know that is the truth, that healthcare is a vital and essential expense, and sometimes it's a challenging expense, especially during a recession when their economy is very tight and we're balancing survival versus growing. And we need to make sure we get the education out that this is the key to the growth of your business.
This is Javier. I would echo absolutely Amy's sentiments. We face those challenges in the Hispanic business community. Above and beyond those challenges, however, in our particular area or our particular demographic, obviously the at the forefront is the language barrier. A large percentage of our small minority-owned businesses, Hispanic-owned businesses, really are Spanish-dominant, and/or even if the business itself is not Spanish-dominant or the business owner is Spanish-dominant, the employees might be. And so for us, the number one challenge is really the language barrier. That's why we're happy to partner with organizations like the National Association of Hispanic Publishers, which allows us to get the word out en español. Literally to every single nook and cranny, every pocket throughout the United States, through these partners that own the newspapers, the local newsletter, the local magazine, that can explain the benefits of this law. The NAHP will play a big role in our ability to get the word out in Spanish to every single pocket out there. The second or another challenge above and beyond the ones that I agree on that Amy shared is the fact that we are in particular industries that typically have not been very well educated or made aware of healthcare issues and now this particular law. And those are industries such as construction and the trades and landscaping and agriculture. And so it's further exacerbated by the types of businesses and the types of industries those businesses are in. So it's a conundrum for us. It's a challenge, but one that we're happy to partner with, and so happy to be partnering with an organization like CAP to really make our constituency aware of the benefits that exist here.
Great. Thank you. James, checking in with you to see if there are any other questions.
Oh, yes, and we had another question from Charlie Erickson. Charlie, you can state your question.
Okay, I have my colleague here's got one.
This is Caitlin Rydell from Hispanic News Link, and I was just wondering if anyone knew what was, like, the basic package. I know it'll be available in 2014, you said, for small business owners. And I was just wondering what exactly that covers in order to promote it. I was just wondering if anyone knew what it entailed exactly or...
I think my colleague Isabel knows, but go ahead.
Sure. The benefits package is actually being designed in the regulatory process right now. We know that it's going to be a comprehensive package with preventive services completely covered without copays or deductibles. And so this is really significant because in the exchanges, small employers are going to have the opportunity to choose from a menu of insurance options. And all of these insurance options will be compliant with the standards for essential benefits, which is a very exciting opportunity for minority employers who otherwise are more likely to have to provide less insurance or no insurance to their employees. The opportunity to provide health insurance, comprehensive health insurance options, is a very exciting and landmark one.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Can you give us, this is Charlie again, can you give us any idea of what battles you face in Congress at this point in ensuring that there's adequate reform in the act that was passed?
Charlie, you mean in regards to insurance coverage and the benefits package?
Yeah, I think that would be the best focus, and just generally overall, what's happening in Congress with regard to health reform?
Sure. I think that with regards to the exchanges and insurance coverage, what's exciting is that a lot of the provisions, some of the provisions that we're talking about, are already in place. So tax credits are available to small employers right now. 35% for 35% for small employers, 25% for nonprofits. And in 2014, that's going to go up to 50%, 35% for nonprofits. And in addition, we already have these state-based high-risk insurance pools, which are up and running. What's being developed now are the exchanges at the state level. And so states are designing and creating their own exchanges for their populations. So they're taking a look at really who's in their community and who's in their state and what are the needs of their state. So I think it's really important for small employers, especially those who are part of the minority-owned small business community, to really communicate with their state legislatures what their needs are, what they seek out of an exchange, and how an exchange could best serve their needs.
Great. And James, do we have another question? See if somebody else has a question.
And no, there appear to be no further questions at this time.
Okay,
oh,
great.
We had just one come in from Rebecca Plevin from Viva. Rebecca, you can state your question.
Hi, I'm calling from Viva Nalvai newspaper, which is a bilingual newspaper in California, San Joaquin Valley. I tried interviewing small business owners about health care reform maybe this winter, and a lot of the business owners really just had no idea about the opportunities that were out there. And a lot of them said they were too small, especially if they're restaurants. They just said, you know, we're too small. That doesn't really concern us. I know you've talked about some of the challenges. How are you reaching out to businesses and convincing them that this is something for them, that it is something worth looking into, and even if they haven't traditionally done it, that it's worth them looking into?
Javier or Amy? You.
Go ahead, Javier.
This is Javier. If I'll take a, if you guys don't mind, I can. So, in the way you phrased your point, you kind of made my point. Many of our businesses kind of think, you know, there's nothing in this for me. It doesn't apply to me. I'm too small. I haven't heard about it. I hear some kind of, I have this vague notion of what's going on, but but I don't know its applicability to me or to, and certainly to my industry and certainly to my business. And so that exactly is the problem. And so as it relates to the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, what we intend to do is work through our local chambers, all 200 of them throughout the nation, 28 of which are in the state of California, to advise the local business community that the law has been created and it's there to help small businesses no matter what size, no matter what industry, all the way down to a one-person firm. We intend to translate as much as we can the benefits of the law to Spanish so that even those who are Spanish dominant and only get news through Español are made aware. And again, through partnerships with organizations like the National Association for Hispanic Publishers that own, whose members are newspaper owners all up and down the state of California, utilize them as the sounding board as well as the speaker and the conduit to even the smallest business owners in the San Joaquin Valley to let them know that there's something in this for them as well and there's some benefit here for them as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. And Amy, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to what...
Well, I'm reiterating, you know, as Javier has the mechanisms of working from the national organization to through the regionals, that's how we will mobilize as well. As we identify the essential and vital health care that's been denied for so long, so many small businesses, we're going to try to make sure that everybody hears it. They realize this is something that is for you. So that we look at, as we continue to talk about all of the benefits that good health has and the detriments that it has on the business, we will continue to provide through our regional offices the conversations in every forum about what is available for each business owner.
Great. And I think we're done. I would like to really thank our speakers, both Javier, Amy, and of course Isabel, for pulling this conference call together, and wanted to remind everybody that we posted our report, Better Health Means Better Business, on our website at www.americanprogress.org. We actually also have the fact sheet as well as the report in Spanish for those of you who are interested in downloading that version. It's also on our website. And and finally, we have recorded this call, so we'll send that around to folks. I'm sorry? Did somebody say anything? Okay. All right. Well, with that, thank you very much. I'm sorry for sort of the technical issues with the call, but everybody did a great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for including
thank
me.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a great day.